All right, let's dive into a case today that might just make some of you legal eagles rethink what you thought you knew about liability at sports venues.
Oh, absolutely. This one's a real head scratcher.
We're talking Jones v. Three Rivers Management Corporation. And it all started with a listener question, really got us thinking about just how far a stadium's responsibility goes to keep fans safe.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because on the surface, it sounds like your typical foul ball at a game kind of situation. But this case, it really throws a curveball.
That most folks probably assume, oh, someone in the stands got beaned. End of story.
Right, exactly.
But this one takes us back to 1970 at the Pittsburgh Pirates' brand new Three Rivers Stadium. And get this, the injury didn't happen in the seats at all.
Nope, not even close. We're talking about an interior walkway, a concourse behind the right field area. Really makes you wonder, like, legally, what counts as inherent risk at a baseball game when you're not even in the stands, right?
Okay, I'm already seeing how this is going to get tricky.
Oh, yeah. It's a slippery slope.
So let's set the scene a bit. It's 1970, brand new stadium, total change of pace from Forbes Field, which the Pirates used to call home.
And from what the case tells us, that old stadium, Forbes Field, had a totally different layout. Probably harder for foul balls to reach certain areas just because of how it was designed.
Right. Totally different era for stadium design.
Big time.
And now we've got Evelyn Jones, big baseball fan, knows the game, ends up seriously injured. Not during the game itself, but by a batted ball during practice.
Now that's where the location of the injury becomes a huge factor, legally speaking. Because like we were saying, Jones wasn't in the stand. So all those usual assumptions about what risks you take on by going to a baseball game, well, they get a bit murky here.
Okay, now I'm hooked. Hello. So tell me more about this walkway and how it ended up playing such a crucial role in the case.
Well, picture this. You're walking along this concourse, and it actually has openings above the right field area.
Oh, so you can kind of peek at the field.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds pretty cool, right? Problem is, to walk safely, you had to look away from the field. Kind of a weird design, if you ask me.
Oh, I see where this is going. Not exactly ideal if there are baseballs flying around.
And according to Jones's testimony, she was distracted, didn't even realize batting practice had started, so she turns back towards the field, and bam, she's hit by a ball.
Ouch. That's a rough way to end your day at the ballpark. So, I'm guessing the stadium just admitted fault, took responsibility for the injury, or?
Well, not quite. See, a jury did side with Jones, awarded her damages. They were like, yeah, this walkway design was not safe.
Makes sense to me, but I bet there's a twist.
Oh, there's always a twist. An appeals court steps in and overturns that jury verdict, sides with the stadium management, and their reasoning, the no-duty rule.
Okay, now for those of us who aren't legal experts, break that down for us. What's the no-duty rule?
Basically, it's a legal principle that protects stadiums from liability when it comes to, like, the inherent risks that come with watching baseball. You know, foul balls flying into the seating area, that kind of thing. The appeals court essentially argued that this rule applies no matter where you are in the stadium. They were like, look, baseball is baseball. You're going to get hit by a ball. It's part of the game.
So even though Jones was in a walkway, not the stands, they're saying the same rule applies.
Exactly. Their argument was that the risk of getting hit by a ball is just part of the whole baseball experience, no matter where you are in the stadium.
I don't know. It seems kind of flimsy to me.
And you're not alone. This is where things get really juicy. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court jumps in and says, hold up, we're going to reinstate the jury's verdict.
Now I'm really intrigued. What was their thinking? Did they, like, invent some brand new law to justify that?
Not quite, no. They stuck to existing legal principles, but they put a huge emphasis on foreseeability. And I think this is a big takeaway for anyone dealing with premises liability. They basically said that even though some dangers are obvious, that doesn't mean the stadium is automatically off the hook if the harm was foreseeable. Like, they should have seen this coming.
Okay, help me connect the dots here. How does that apply to Jones in this not-so-great walkway?
Well, they looked at the design and said, this walkway basically forces people to turn their backs to the field to walk safely.
Yeah, seems like a recipe for disaster.
Right. And the court was like, that's pretty much setting people up for a potential accident. So even though, yeah, Jones knew baseballs could be dangerous, the stadium still had a duty to protect her because their design made an injury way more likely.
So it's not enough to just slap up a warning sign, hey, watch out for baseballs.
Nope, not even close. The court in Jones was really hammering home this idea of foreseeability. It's like, imagine a big sign flashing, beware of flying objects. Does that mean the stadium can just ignore any design flaws that make getting hit by a flying object even more likely?
I think I'm starting to see why this case is such a big deal. It's not just about baseballs. It's about how a venue's design can create liability, even if the danger itself seems obvious.
Exactly. And this is where Jones v. 3 Rivers becomes so important. It's not just about baseball. It sets a precedent for how courts view design liability in any stadium or arena, really.
So this ruling, it could apply to other sports, concerts, any big gathering in a stadium, right?
Absolutely. You know. Think about all the bells and whistles in modern stadiums these days. Open concourses, fancy amenities, all these distractions. If they're not planned carefully, those things could actually increase the risk of someone getting hurt.
So it's almost like it's a good problem to have, right? Stadiums are trying to create these amazing fan experiences, but it can't come at the cost of safety. And that's where the legal line gets blurry.
You hit the nail on the head. Jones v. Three Rivers is like a wake-up call. It's saying, hey, stadiums can't just rely on the watch for flying objects excuse.
Mm.
Design choices matter, and a jury will ultimately decide if those choices were negligent.
So it's a good reminder that even in places designed for fun and entertainment, there's a serious responsibility to keep everyone safe. And for our listeners out there in the legal world, this case really shows how design choices can create liability, even if the danger seems obvious. It's about foreseeability.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And you know, as stadiums keep evolving, becoming more entertainment focused, that line between inherent risk and venue liability, it's gonna keep getting blurrier and blurrier, which makes this case even more relevant today.
It does make you think, where exactly does that line fall? And how do we balance creating those exciting experiences while keeping fans safe at the same time?
That, my friend, is the million-dollar question. And cases like Jones v. Three Rivers force us to face those tough questions head-on. Makes you think.
It's wild, right? Like, stadiums used to be all about the game. That's it. But now it's like this whole entertainment complex.
Yeah, for sure. Think about it. Gourmet food, interactive games. Some even have swimming pools now, right? They've really become these massive entertainment hubs.
Totally. And as cool as all those extra features are, they also bring up a bunch of new challenges when you're talking about safety and liability.
I see what you mean. The more distractions you throw into the mix, the less attention people are paying to the game, to their surroundings, which, you know, probably makes accidents more likely.
Exactly. And that raises a big question for anyone designing or running a stadium. Where does the responsibility shift from the spectator to the venue? At what point is it not the fan's fault anymore?
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate for a minute. Some people might say, come on, fans should just be more aware of their surroundings, especially at a baseball game. You know there's a chance you might get hit by a ball. Yeah, you're right. We can't expect stadiums to, like, baby-proof everything. Fans have to be responsible, too. But the Jones case makes it pretty clear that venues can't just shrug off their responsibility either. It's about finding that balance. Entertainment's great, but not at the expense of safety.
This reminds me of a case I read about. A fan got injured at a football game. Not by a football, but by a big chunk of ice falling from the stadium roof.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. The court found the stadium negligent. Because they knew about the ice, but they didn't do enough to keep it from falling on people.
So it's not just about protecting fans from, like, the obvious risks of the sport, but also from any hazards the venue itself might create, you know, that they could have foreseen.
Precisely. And as stadiums get even fancier with all the new tech and crazy designs, those hazards could get harder and harder to predict. It's like a whole new ball game.
Okay, so let's flip this around for a second. Let's say you're a stadium owner. What are some practical things you can do after Jones v. Three Rivers?
Mm-hmm.
How do you protect yourself?
Well, first things first, you got to go beyond just thinking about the seats. You need a serious risk assessment of the whole facility.
So that means walkways, concourses, food stands, restrooms, everywhere a fan might go, basically.
Every nook and cranny. You got to spot any hazards that could pop up because of how those areas are designed. Are there blind spots, bottlenecks that could cause people to bump into each other? Are the walkways wide enough for a big crowd?
Seems like having clear lines of sight is crucial, especially in areas where people are walking and looking away from the game.
Absolutely. And if you can't avoid having obstructions, well, then you got to find ways to make those areas safer, put up signs, maybe some barriers, even staff to direct foot traffic.
It sounds like clear communication is key, right? Like good signage, staff who can guide people and handle any safety concerns.
You got it. Communication can prevent a ton of accidents, but you also got to design these spaces with safety in mind right from the start. It shouldn't be an afterthought.
So you're saying it's about anticipating problems before they happen, not just reacting afterwards.
That's exactly it. And that's where the real challenge is. As technology keeps changing and fans want more and more, stadiums got to get really good at spotting and fixing potential risks.
It really is an interesting mix, isn't it? Law, design, entertainment, all rolled into one.
It is. And Jones v. Three Rivers, it really drives home the point that safety can't be an afterthought. It's got to be a top priority, even when you're trying to create these spectacular experiences.
We talk about duty of care all the time, but this case, it really makes it real. Those design choices, they have real consequences. And for lawyers, understanding all that is crucial. It's not just about the law, it's about design and foreseeability too.
Makes you wonder how much has actually changed since 1970. Are we really putting safety first, even with all the cool new stadiums and fancy features?
Yeah, we're letting the wow factor overshadow safety concerns. It's a question worth asking.
You know, this case, it pushes us to think about not just the obvious dangers, but those sneaky, hidden risks that bad design can create.
So it's not just about dodging baseballs. It's about recognizing that even in places that seem totally safe, there could be hidden dangers lurking.
And as fans, we got to do our part too, right? Be aware of what's around us, pay attention to warnings, and speak up if something seems off.
It's a two-way street. Venues have a duty to keep things safe, but we also have a duty to ourselves to be careful and make smart choices.
Well said. And this brings us to something really interesting about Jones v. Three Rivers, the role of the jury. Remember, the appeals court sided with the stadium, but then the Supreme Court brought back that jury verdict.
Right. Now, why did that appeals court side with the stadium again?
Their basic argument was that getting hit by a ball is just a risk you take when you go to a baseball game, no matter where you are. They thought it was so obvious Jones should have been more careful.
The Supreme Court said, "Nope, not buying it."
Exactly. They said, yeah, sure, everyone knows baseballs can be dangerous, but the specific way this walkway was designed, that was a hazard Jones couldn't have known about.
So they were saying the stadium's design choices played a big part in what happened.
100%. They were sending a message. You can't just hide behind the, it's an inherent risk excuse if your design creates avoidable hazards.
This is where it gets really interesting, right? It was up to a group of everyday people, a jury, to decide if the stadium messed up.
You got it. The Supreme Court basically threw it back to them, said, you guys decide, look at the evidence, think about the situation, and tell us if the stadium breached its duty of care.
That's a lot of responsibility for a jury.
It is, but it shows how important juries are. They bring that real-world perspective. They can use their own experiences and common sense to decide what's reasonable and what's not.
It's like they're the voice of the community, right? Saying, this is what we expect, this is what we think is acceptable, and this goes too far.
Exactly. And in Jones v. Three Rivers, that jury sent a loud and clear message to stadium owners. Don't assume fans are taking on all the risk. You gotta create a safe environment, or we'll hold you accountable.
This makes me think about what you were saying earlier about how Jones has influenced other parts of premises liability law. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, for sure. The ideas from Jones have been used in cases about slip and falls, bad security, even crowd crushes at concerts.
So it wasn't just about baseball. It changed how we think about safety in all kinds of places.
Right. Jones v. Three Rivers is like a landmark case for premises liability. It's about recognizing that property owners have to think ahead, spot potential dangers, and take steps to keep people safe.
And juries have a huge role to play in that, right? They're the ones who decide what's reasonable.
Absolutely. They keep businesses and property owners in check, making sure they're following the rules and keeping people safe.
It's amazing, isn't it? This one case about a baseball injury ended up changing the legal landscape in so many ways. It really makes you think.
It really does. It shows how one decision can completely change our understanding of who's responsible for safety.
And it reminds us that even as technology changes and things get more complex, the basic rules of safety and duty of care, they still matter.
You said it. And as we move into this new era of crazy entertainment venues, the lessons from Jones v. Three Rivers are going to become even more important.
It's a case that forces us to think about finding that balance, right, between fun and safety, and about all the responsibilities we share to create safe and enjoyable experiences for everyone. You know, it's easy to think about stadiums as these, like, massive impersonal places.
Right, just concrete and steel.
But talking about this case, it really makes you think about the people behind the scenes, you know, the ones making decisions that affect the safety of thousands of fans.
Oh, for sure. Even with all the high-tech designs and planning in the world, human error, it always creeps in. And that's where, like we were saying, foreseeability comes into play big time.
Right, it's not about blaming venues for every little accident. It's about recognizing that they have a responsibility to think ahead what could go wrong, and then actually try to prevent it.
Exactly. It's about building that culture of safety. Everyone, from the architects to the folks selling hot dogs, they should all be thinking about risk, you know, making sure fans are safe.
So it goes way beyond just having a good legal team to defend you in court. It's about being proactive, making safety a priority from the get-go.
100%. Ongoing training, education, and being willing to adapt, that's key, because new challenges are always popping up.
And speaking of new challenges, think about all the technology that's everywhere in stadiums now. Facial recognition, drone deliveries, VR experiences. It's amazing, but also kind of scary when you think about the safety risks.
Oh, definitely. All that stuff makes things more fun for the fans, but it also adds a whole new layer of complexity when it comes to safety and, of course, liability.
I mean, what happens if a drone malfunctions and drops something on someone's head?
Yeah.
Or someone trips and falls because they're lost in a VR world?
Those are real concerns. Venues are going to have to step up their game and really think through those risks before something bad happens.
It seems like the law itself is going to have to play catch up, too.
For sure. We're seeing new rules about drone safety, data privacy, all that. But I think this is just the tip of the iceberg.
So it's an evolving area, constantly changing with new legal questions popping up left and right. Fun times for lawyers, I guess.
You could say that. But seriously, it's fascinating to see how technology is pushing the boundaries of safety and liability. It's something we'll have to keep a close eye on.
It's pretty wild to think that Jones v. Three Rivers, a case from way back in 1970, is still so relevant today.
I know, right? But it's a classic for a reason. It reminds us that safety isn't just about following the rules. It's about doing the right thing. It's about making sure everyone who walks into a stadium can have fun without worrying about getting hurt.
And we can't forget about our own role as fans, right? We got to be aware of our surroundings, not take crazy risks, and speak up if something seems off.
Couldn't agree more. Safety is everyone's responsibility. Venues, staff, fans, we all got to work together to keep each other safe.
Well, I think this deep dive into Jones v. Three Rivers has been eye-opening, to say the least. It really shows how entertainment, design, and the law, they're all intertwined. And for our listeners out there in the legal world, it's a great example of how one case can completely change the way we think about premises liability.
It makes you stop and think, right, about the choices we make, the spaces we create, and the responsibility we have to protect each other.
And as we move into this future with crazy new technology and entertainment options, those lessons from Jones v. Three Rivers, they'll keep guiding us. Hopefully, they'll help us keep safety at the forefront.
We hope you found this deep dive helpful, especially if you're trying to wrap your head around premises liability and how the whole idea of safety is evolving at these entertainment venues. It's a constantly changing landscape.
And as always, we'd love to hear what you think. What other cases or issues related to stadium safety are on your mind? Hit us up on social media and let's keep the conversation going.